Now let us begin our series on the book of Ephesians. The Lord willing, we will be going through the entire book from January to June. As we study the book of Ephesians, we will discover that life together is one of the major themes of the book. Now we should ask the question, why? Why should we seek to have life together? Please look at these two verses. First, Ephesians. Is this working? Ephesians 2:22. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Second, Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, being fit and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself enough. Both verses tell us that the goal of having life together is to build up God's church. And in Ephesians 4:16, we are especially reminded that every one of us is to participate in the building up of God's church. For it says, from whom the whole body being fit and held together by what every joint supplies. In the Greek language, this verse reveals that every part of the body is somehow connected to and dependent on every other part. Which means, for example, I am dependent on not a small group of you, I'm dependent on every one of you here. And so are you. Look at this chain. If each one of us place our role in this chain, the machine can keep running. The body of Christ can only be built up as each part does its work. You say, well, we have a lot of people here. Other people will do the work. Without me, it's okay. No. The Bible says it very clearly. We depend on each other. And without your participation, there's no way for us to build up the body of Christ. As we look at this, with this introduction of our theme, let us now dive into Ephesians 1. Today, we want to look at just the first two verses of chapter 1. So if you can read together, please join me to read these two verses together in unison. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, please. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the angels, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This opening greeting of the letter is so significant because it tells us four essential elements that are very crucial for the building up of God's church. Let us now look at each one. First, choosing to do God's will. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. If we compare Paul's educational background with other apostles, Paul was the only scholar among other apostles. He grew up in Jerusalem and studied under the famous teacher Gamaliel, according to Acts 22. And he was a member of the Pharisees, according to Philippians chapter 3. Therefore, he could have chosen to become a professor of the Old Testament law in those days. If he were to pick a career, he could have chosen to be a professor of Old Testament law. Christian tradition believes that Paul's family was moderately wealthy, deriving their income from making and selling leather goods. With such financial background, Paul could have chosen to be a Christian businessman. However, he did not choose to become a professor of the Old Testament law, nor a Christian businessman. Instead, he obeyed God's will to become an apostle. It was not a high-paid job. This job would not bring him any fame from a human standpoint. And yet he obeyed God's will to become an apostle. Had Paul not chosen to do God's will, the church of Ephesus would not have been established by him. From this, we see that the importance of choosing to do God's will plays a very important part in the building up of God's church. Dr. Lin was the interim pastor for FCBC in 1961. It was an interim position because he was planning to go to Southeast Asia to help out in theological education there. However, during his interim pastorate here, he understood God's will for him was not to go to Asia, but to remain in LA to be the pastor for FCBC. Keep in mind, in those days, FCBC was a predominantly Cantonese-speaking church. And it is not easy for a Mandarin speaker to pastor a Cantonese congregation. It's hard for Cantonese people to learn Mandarin, but it's even harder for Mandarin people to learn Cantonese. It was not easy. And yet Dr. Lin chose to obey God's will, and because of that, FCBC was built up on a wonderful way in subsequent years. Dear brothers and sisters, may we be reminded that choosing to do God's will plays a very significant role in the building up of God's church. Let me especially challenge those of you who may be contemplating attending another church for legitimate reasons. If God is calling you to stay to help build up FCBC, please obey God's will to stay. As for those of you who are in college, perhaps you have already figured out what to do for a living when you graduate. But if God is calling you to be in full-time ministry in order to further build up FCBC, please obey God and surrender your personal plan. May we choose to do God's will in order to see FCBC rise up to a different level. Second, separating from the world. Ephesians 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus. Given our contemporary use of the word saint, it's important to understand that all believers, not just special Christians, are saints. Remember, this is important to understand that all believers, not just special Christians, are saints. Remember the believers in the church of Corinth? They had a lot of problems. Talking about church problems, they had a lot of them. And yet Paul still called them saints, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. So keep in mind that all believers are saints in the eyes of God. Then why did God give us such a title? In the Greek language, the word saint basically means God's holy people, or the ones who have been set apart from God. Therefore, one of the reasons why God gives us such a title is because he wants us to strive to separate ourselves from the world. If we desire to build up God's church, we must not follow the world. These days, more and more churches have become secular without knowing it. How do we avoid becoming secular? Christian apologetics and research ministry has come up with these signs of a church becoming secular. Signs of becoming secular. Teaching that the Bible is not inspired and inerrant. Using other books instead of opening the Bible in Bible study. Teaching that there is more than one way to God besides Jesus. Teaching that there is no absolute right or wrong. Being careful to not offend anyone at the expense of biblical truth. Pastors preaching moralism instead of Christ-centered messages. Approving of homosexuality. Using psychology as an authority on human nature. Going to church as a social habit or event. Praying as a last resort. Not first thing to do, but a last resort. Accepting divorce just as secular society does. This is a good checklist for the Church of Jesus Christ. If any of these is a description of our current condition, we are to return to God and forsake following the world. If not, we cannot really build up the body of Christ. Third, remaining faithful to Him. Go back to this verse. It says, and who are faithful in Christ Jesus? This is another element that is very crucial for the building up of God's church. A good way to gauge our faithfulness to God is found in Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. The New Testament gives us a few examples of individuals who were faithful in small things, and their faithfulness in small things brought great glory to God. A classic example that I can think of is the servants at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Remember that story? Jesus commanded the servants to fill the water pots with water. Keep in mind that in those days, filling the water pots was a trivial job. There was no built-in pipe. They filled this water pots with a very little, small utensil. And it was trivial. It was insignificant, perhaps, in the eyes of some. Just imagine if the servants were not faithful in this small task. The outcome of the story would have become different. However, the servants' faithfulness in something so trivial ended in their receiving plenty of the best wine for the entire wedding party. God uses those who are faithful in small things to accomplish great things for His glory. Our SGV church plan will soon become independent. This church plan would be another great example. One of the reasons why they could grow so rapidly is because they have many brothers and sisters who are faithful in little things, small things. As I think of the past 7 years of observation, I can give you example after example. Now let me give you just a few examples. For example, putting up the outdoor church sign and taking it down each week. Or arriving early to set up the sound system and staying late to put things away. Or coordinating meals every week, not just once in a while, but coordinating meals tirelessly every Sunday after worship service. Families who open their homes for home group meetings and faithfully clean their homes before and after meetings. I have seen many, many brothers and sisters being faithful, not in huge tasks, but little tasks like these. Their faithfulness in little things was not in vain. God did use it to build up His church. Dear brothers and sisters, if we desire to build up God's church in FCBC LA, we just cannot neglect being faithful in little things. May God help us. Number four, receiving grace and peace. Going back to verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The last element that is very crucial for the building up of God's church is the grace and peace we receive from God. Now please notice the words grace and peace were not superficial or generic greetings from Paul to the believers at Ephesus. Grace and peace are actually essential elements for the building up of God's church. In fact, if you look at the entire book from the angle of grace and peace, you will discover the entire book actually explains in depth the extraordinary importance of grace and peace. Grace and peace are really central to the good news of Jesus Christ, His salvation. Moreover, grace and peace to God's church were important to be brought up once again at the end of the letter. This letter began with grace and truth, and this letter ends with grace and peace. Sorry, not grace and truth, grace and peace. Now, if you look at the very last two verses of chapter 6, peace and grace were mentioned again. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Grace and peace from God are so important to God's church. Just imagine what will our church look like without grace and peace from God? What will FCBC look like without God's peace? There will be no peace with God, no peace with one another, no peace with man, no strength to withstand hardship. Remember the peace Jesus talked about in the Gospel of John? He offers peace that cannot be offered by this world, especially in the midst of hardship, difficulties, adversary. But if there is no peace given by God, there is no strength for us to withstand hardship. No victory over spiritual warfare. Chapter 6 of Ephesians talks about spiritual warfare. But if there is no peace of God, there will be no victory over spiritual warfare. No unity. Needless to say, if there is no peace between one another, there will be no unity and no harmony. What will FCBC look like without God's grace? Sorry, there's a typo there. The word should be grace. What will FCBC look like without God's grace? Needless to say, no salvation. For by grace, we have been saved. It's not our own works. No salvation without God's grace. No converts. Can you imagine if the grace of God is absent in the next 20 years in FCBC, there will be no convert, no salvation. No disciples can be produced. No spiritual gifts can be exercised. No special provisions or protection from the Lord. Now think about the importance of God's grace on us. FCBC would not have been able to exist for 65 years without the grace of God. As I close, let me share with you an example. Last point here talks about no special provision or protection from the Lord without God's grace. Over my years at FCBC, I have encountered a few dangerous moments that could have caused me to die as I serve Him here. But out of God's grace, I experienced God's wonderful and special protection. I shared this with our Chinese congregation several weeks ago. November after my mission trip in Vietnam, I came back. And I was suffering from jet lag for a few days. One day, while I was on my way to church from home, Freeway 5, I was so sleepy. I was the only one in the car. Because I was so sleepy, so I pinched myself. No, don't fall asleep. Come on. And I had to do this. Come on, wake up, wake up. Roll down the window. Turn on the radio. Don't sleep, Benny. Please don't sleep. However, I did fall asleep. I fell asleep for 2 to 3 seconds. By the time when I woke up, I realized I was on a different lane. I was on the diamond lane. I was the only person inside the car, and yet I was on diamond lane. Driving 70 miles per hour. I could have died there. I could have run into a very severe accident. But it was the grace of God to protect me. Just last week, I attended the CSYF retreat as the speaker. When I got up the first morning, I realized I had forgotten to bring my disposable shaver. For some of you, maybe if you do not shave a day, it doesn't bother you, but it does bother me if I don't shave. So during the morning prayer time with all the camp counselors, I asked if anyone had an extra disposable shaver that I can not borrow, but that I can use. None of them had one. So after the prayer time, I drove to a nearby market that was 4 miles away from camp. That morning was 31 degrees Fahrenheit, which was slightly below zero. It was sunny, but it was cold. As I drove to the market, I did not experience any difficulty on the road. It was very smooth. I soon arrived at the market and got what I needed and headed back right away. But on my way back to camp, I was only 2 miles away from the market when I saw a severe car accident on the opposite side of the road. The car was completely totaled, and the two wheels on the back had flown off. The paramedics were rescuing the driver who was trapped inside. Apparently, the driver hit some black ice, and as a result, he lost control of his car. And as I was driving through there, I said to myself, didn't I drive through this same route, this same road 10 minutes ago on my way to the market? I could have been the driver who was trapped here. It was indeed God's grace on me. I'm sure many of you can share your story after story of God's grace. Without the grace of God, we cannot continue our church life. Without the grace from God, without grace and peace from God, there is no life together. Without the grace and peace from God, we cannot move on to build up the body of Jesus Christ. As we close, let us be reminded these four important elements for the building up of God's church. Don't leave out any one of these. Choosing to do God's will. Separating from the world. remaining faithful to Him, especially in little things, little tasks, receiving grace and peace. Let us pray.